This morning, in the message, I want to kind of prepare us. A week from today, as was stated, we're going to be having revival services here at the church. And it's urgent and it's necessary that we pray for those upcoming services, that God would just move in our midst, and that each and every one of us would come prepared for what God has to say to us as individuals. You know, it's so easy to get caught into that trap of thinking that God needs to move on someone else, but he certainly doesn't have to move on me. You know, but he needs to move on somebody else. Well, that kind of pride blocks the Holy Spirit, and it blocks God from responding to our prayers. And this morning, I wanted to share with you what prayer failure really is. And so I'm going to ask you, we're going to jump around in the scriptures because there are several issues that can come up in our lives that will block the move of God in our hearts and in our lives. And folks, it's important that we understand that. And so this morning, I want to share with you these causes, if you will, of failure in prayer. And remind you that, you know, it's not the beauty of the words that you use in prayer, or that any of us use in prayer, that brings the movement of God, but it is the purity of the heart and the openness of the heart. Someone may not have all of the words and terms down, and yet have powerful, effective prayer lives because the heart is right. And then there are those that have flowery abilities to pray, but God doesn't move because the heart is blocking what God wants to do. And so there are seven things that I want to share with you today that can hinder the work of God in responding to our prayers. And I want you to just kind of follow along with me as we work our way through these, and to ask each of ourselves, not looking at anyone else, but ask each of ourselves, is this in my life? And do I need to take care of it? So let's begin to look at these seven causes of failure in our prayer lives. The very first cause of failure in our prayers is that there is sin in the heart and life. Now look with me at Psalm 66. Psalm 66. Verse 18, Psalm 66, verse 18. As the psalmist is writing, he says this, "If I regard wickedness in my heart, the Lord will not hear." If I regard wickedness in my heart, the Lord will not hear. The word regard there means if I try to hide wickedness in my heart, then God will not hear me when I pray. If I am clutching to a particular sin or a habit of sin in my life, then God won't hear me. The prayers that God hears and responds to are, as we stated earlier, prayers that come from a pure heart. From a heart that is open and transparent before God and not trying to hide anything. Do you want success in your prayer life? Then confess your sin and get it done. Get it out of the way. Get it rooted out of there. Because sin in the heart will hinder prayer. Listen to Isaiah chapter 59. Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 and 2. Isaiah writes this: "Behold, the Lord's hand is not so short that it cannot save, neither is his ear so dull that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear." As Isaiah is writing to the children of Israel, he is writing about the sins that Israel has involved themselves in. And it doesn't matter, folks, how loud people cry out. It doesn't matter how long people pray. It doesn't matter what direction they face. It doesn't matter what position they take, whether it's standing or laying down, or whether it's kneeling on their knees. None of that matters if the heart is not right. God will not hear when we pray. And that was Israel's problem, you see. Isaiah understood that. Israel was in a position where they were constantly at odds with God's law and with God's principles and with God's teachings. And yet they were, and we're going to see this in a few moments, but yet they would hold all of these great celebrations, these great times of worship, and all of that, and yet God would not hear them in spite of everything that they were doing because their hearts were not right. If we hide sin on the inside, God will not hear us when we pray. Secondly, the second cause of failure in prayer, and there really isn't any particular order in these things, but just the way that they've been written out. The second thing is this: our prayers fail when there is a persistent refusal to obey God. When there is a persistent refusal to obey God. Look with me, if you would, at Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs comes right after the book of Psalm. We're going to read verses 24 through 28. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 24 through 28. "Because I called and you refused, I stretched out my hand and no one paid attention. And you neglected all my counsel and did not want my reproof. I will even laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your dread comes. When your dread comes like a storm and your calamity comes on like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come on you, then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they shall not find me." This is God doing the speaking. And when we persistently refuse to obey God, there comes the point in our spiritual life where God refuses to listen to us any longer. It's exactly what the psalmist is saying. God is saying, look, because I called and you refused. By the way, that has nothing to do with cell phones. It has to do with the Spirit of God speaking clearly and plainly to the heart of man. To reminding them, look, there are a set of principles that I expect you to live by, and if you refuse to do that, I'm not going to pay any attention to you. And when your day of calamity comes, I'm the one who mocks. When your day of stress, when your day of pressure comes, I'm going to turn a deaf ear. I'm not going to listen. Because of a consistent, persistent refusal to obey God. What has God called you to do? What is He asking from you? You better do it. Whatever it is, you better do it. Number three, the third thing that will cause a failure in prayer is formalism and hypocrisy. Formalism and hypocrisy. Look with me at the book of Isaiah, once again, Isaiah chapter 1. We're going to read verses 12 through 15. Isaiah chapter 1. Verses 12 through 15. Well, let's go back up to verse 10 through 15. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear to the instruction of our God, you people of Gomorrah. What are your multiplied sacrifices to me? Says the Lord. I have had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed cattle, and I take no pleasure in the blood of bulls, lambs, or goats. When you come to appear before me, who requires of you this trampling of my courts? Bring your worthless offerings no longer. Incense is an abomination to me. New moon and Sabbath, the calling of assemblies, I cannot endure iniquity and the solemn assembly. I hate your new moon festivals and your appointed feasts. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. So when you spread out your hands in prayer, I will hide my eyes from you. Yes, even though you multiply prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are covered with blood. Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean. Remove the evil of your deeds from my sight. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Reprove the ruthless. Defend the orphan. Plead for the widow. You see, as Isaiah is writing what God is laying on his heart, and as he says in that 10th verse, hear the word of the Lord. Hear what God is saying. As what Israel is involved in at this time is a sinfulness and a sinful behavior, and walking away from God, not really following Him, not really honoring Him in any fashion, but man, are they bringing the sacrifices. Man, are they having the services. man, are they doing all of the stuff, going through all of the motions, but their hearts are not right with God. And God says, I'm sick of that. I'm tired of it. I don't want your sacrifices. I don't want your incenses. I want your heart. I don't want your formalism. I don't want your hypocrisy. I want you. Do you realize, ladies and gentlemen, that God cries out for intimacy with His people? He cries out for a vibrant relationship. And that cry came to a huge crescendo on a mountain called Calvary, at a place called Golgotha, where God ultimately and perfectly demonstrated His desire for relationship with man by being willing to take on all of our sins, by a willingness to sacrifice Himself in order that we could have life, in order that we could have the presence of God. And when we fail to walk with Him and to honor Him and to honor His Word, we are insulting God's grace. Folks, formalism does not make the relationship with God right. Ritualism doesn't do it. But a heart that is open and pure before God brings God's blessing. Number four. The fourth cause of failure in prayer is an unwillingness to forgive others. An unwillingness to forgive others. I want you to notice with me Mark chapter 11. Gospel of Mark, chapter 11, verses 25 and 26. And whenever you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also who is in heaven may forgive you your transgressions. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father who is in heaven forgive your transgressions. An unwillingness to forgive others blocks the grace of God from falling on your life. Forgiving is not overlooking sin. That's not what forgiveness is. When there is sin within the body of Christ, it must be dealt with. As uncomfortable as that is, it must be dealt with. But forgiveness still needs to be issued. It still needs to be released. Because ultimate judgment comes from God, and He'll do it right. So we need to understand, if we have an unwillingness to forgive others, our sin remains intact in our life. Number five, the fifth cause of blockage in prayer is if we pray with the wrong motives. Look with me at the book of James. The book of James, chapter 4. Beginning with verse 1. Book of James, chapter 4. beginning with verse 1, reading through verse 3. What is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? Is not the source your pleasures that wage war in your members? You lust and do not have, so you commit murder. You are envious and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures. By the way, the word pleasures there is the same word for hedonism. Hedonism is the self-centered fulfillment of every desire, of every evil that man can have. That's hedonism. Where man elevates himself and his pleasures and his desires above everyone else, including God. And James tells us, look, you're not going to receive from the hand of God if that's what your desire is. If your desire is self and selfishness and self-centeredness and greed, then don't expect God to honor that. Because God's not going to honor that. Because the motive is wrong. Make certain that your motives are pure when you pray. Number 6. The sixth failure in prayer is a despising of God's law. A despising of God's law. Amos, in your Old Testaments, Amos chapter 2, the fourth verse, says this. Thus says the Lord, for 3 transgressions of Judah and for 4, I will not revoke its punishment because they rejected the law of the Lord and have not kept his statutes. Their lies also have led them astray, those after which their fathers walked. They have not kept his statutes. They've rejected the law of the Lord. Their lies lead them astray. And that despising of God's law blocks our prayers from being effective. Folks, it's not our privilege to change the law of God. I don't know if you realize this or not, but He's the Creator. We are the created. The created does not say to the Creator, you blew it. Although that's what man does. When man determines that he's going to live according to his own standards, according to his own laws, according to the laws of secularism or the laws of humanism, when he begins to live by other than what the scriptures and the teaching of God's will is and God's word is, when he decides, you know what, I don't like this part of God's law, so I'm going to throw that out, but I'll keep this part because I really like this part. You know, when man begins to do that, God says, that's it. That's it. I'm the Creator. I set the rules. We need to come to grips with that. The fact that God is the one who is in control and not us. Number 7. The seventh cause of failure in prayer is a lack of love and mercy. Look at Proverbs chapter 21. Proverbs chapter 21. Notice verse 13. He who shuts his ear to the cry of the poor will also cry himself and not be answered. What he's talking about here is a lack of concern, a lack of willingness help other individuals. A lack of willingness to help is a demonstration of a lack of love and a lack of mercy. And folks, that becomes a huge issue. And in fact, Jesus talked about the fact that our very judgment will be based upon our outreach for Him. Jesus said, look, I was sick, you didn't come. You didn't care. You weren't there. I was naked, you didn't give me anything to wear. He didn't take care of that. I was in prison. I didn't see you. You didn't come. You didn't reach out. I was hungry. You offered no food. Depart from me. Our judgment is going to be based upon our response to others when they're going through difficult times. When we're unwilling to fulfill God's word by doing those simple little things, our prayers are blocked. There you have it. Seven causes of failure in prayer. Sin in the heart and the life. A persistent refusal to obey God. Formalism and hypocrisy. An unwillingness to forgive others. Wrong motives, or self-centeredness, if you will. Despising God's law, a lack of love and mercy. When those things are part of our lives, God doesn't hear us when we pray. Let's stand. I'm going to ask you at this time, if you would, please take your hymnals. Open up to number 428. Number 428. We're going to sing this song, I Need Thee Every Hour. I want to share with you real quickly what I shared with my Sunday school class this morning. And that is how to pray for revival. Our prayer needs to be, for each one of us, our prayer needs to be this. Lord, what do you want me to deal with in my life? It's not, Lord, what do you want that one to do? or Lord, get them for this. Because that means that you've got an attitude inside that needs to be dealt with. So what the prayer needs to be is, Lord, what is it inside of me that needs to be taken care of? Because that's when revival comes. So perhaps during this week, as you begin to pray for revival, pray the prayer, Lord, what do you want for me? And what do you want from me? And then be open to what the Lord shows you. And then as the services come, just respond in obedience to God. And watch how He blesses your life. Let's sing number 428. And perhaps there's something that you know in your life needs to be taken care of now before next week comes. We invite you to come. Just time for you to spend with the Lord. No one will bother you. Just personal time. But we will pray for you. So if God is speaking to you even this morning, we invite you to come and be obedient to God. Number 428. Amen. I want to thank you for being here this morning. Let's have a closing word of prayer. Remind you of the service tonight at 7. Come on back and just kind of enjoy our worship together. Shall we pray? Our gracious Father, thank you. Thank you for your love, for your grace. Thank you for the amazing things that you do for us. And now, Lord, we ask that as we go to our homes or wherever we're headed after this service, Lord, may we go with hearts that are focused upon you. And may our focus be to honor you and to bring glory to your name. And Father, we'll give you thanks and praise, for it's in your incredible and holy name we pray. Amen.